I expect that ultimately each one would say, prayer is talking with God. And as we look through the Old Testament, we see how many of God's people spent a lot of time in prayer. We look through the New Testament and we discover the same thing. We look at the life of Jesus and are impressed with how many times that he went off to pray. And certainly as we look at what God's word says to us, where he says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Or again he says, ask and seek and knock. Or Paul saying, pray without ceasing. And so what kind of an attitude do we come to God with in our praying? And I guess it would certainly be a humble attitude. An attitude recognizing our sinfulness, but recognizing that we're coming to the holy God of the universe. Certainly a repentant attitude, one that recognizes our sins, but is truly sorry for them, recognizing I don't even deserve to be able to go to God in prayer because of who I am, what I've done, my sinfulness. Certainly we want an attitude of being meaning in terms of what we say. That it really comes from the heart. That we're not just babbling. An attitude that is trusting in the Lord. Trusting that he's there. Trusting that he's listening to us. Trusting that he even cares about what we pray about. An attitude that can trust the Lord no matter what. So on the one hand, recognizing that God is all-powerful. He can do anything, and we marvel at the miracles, whether recorded in the Old Testament or the New. So recognizing his power, but also recognizing his love. A love, since he created us, we're his own children. A love that sent Jesus to the cross to pay for our sins, to assure us of our forgiveness. So we trust his power, we trust his love, but also to trust his wisdom. And so as I'm praying to the Lord about this problem in my life, or this illness, or this pain, or this distress, that I trust that in his wisdom, he will do what is right. And so in his love and in his wisdom, he may choose to not take away the concern that I have, but yet to bring even good about from that. Certainly as we pray to the Lord, that we pray persistently, that we lay it out before him. So as you pray, do you see it as a task that you'd almost rather not do? Or do you see it as a joy? Do you recognize the joy that it is because of who we go to in prayer? The joy that it is because of what we can ask him. Because he's the Lord of the universe, nothing is too big for us to pray about, but also nothing is too small for us to pray about. Maybe we say, well, I don't know what I should pray about. Consider even yourself, your own joys, your looks to the future, your fears, your needs, your concerns, your worries. But then expanding it to praying for your family, for your friends and neighbors, praying for your church, praying for your pastor, recognizing that he's praying for you. And so many things to pray about in the whole world. Interesting that as the disciples had observed those religious leaders and their kind of praying to get attention to themselves, or having talked with some of John the Baptist's disciples, and they said, you know, John had taught them how to pray. And so they went to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And then as Luke records, that then Jesus gave them the Lord's Prayer. Wow, what a guideline. What an example, what a blessing that God has called upon us to pray to him, but also then given us an example of how we can pray. Not that we use the Lord's Prayer as a magical kind of thing, as a good luck charm. If I pray the Lord's Prayer, then certain things are going to be happening. But rather than in faith, we turn to him. And how we cherish that Lord's Prayer, we pray it at every worship service as we gather together. We pray it in our homes, in our family devotions. We've prayed it so long, we know it perfectly. I guess I could call you in the middle of the night, get you out of a deep sleep, and say, would you say the Lord's Prayer? And I would imagine you could say it perfectly without missing a word. What a blessing. And then we can all pray it together, even if we don't have it printed in front of us. But it also becomes a concern, doesn't it? Because we can pray the Lord's Prayer without even thinking about one thing that we're saying. We can pray the Lord's Prayer, but our mind may be on the big game this afternoon. Or the mind may be on what's going to be for dinner, or what plans we have for the rest of the week. Martin Luther said that the Lord's Prayer is really the greatest martyr in the whole world. A story is told, I can't say that it's true, that Martin Luther had a discussion with a friend of his, saying that even he was having some difficulty continuing to always concentrate on what he was saying when he was praying the Lord's Prayer. And this friend said, oh, he didn't have that problem at all. Every time that he prayed it, he totally considered what he was saying. And as the story goes, that Martin Luther said, you know, if you could do that, I'll give you my best horse. And so they were praying the Lord's Prayer, and halfway through, the man stopped and said, what color is that horse? He was thinking more about the horse than he was about what he was praying, and that can easily happen to us, can't it? And so today we look at the introduction to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. Isn't that interesting that Jesus chose the pronoun of our? Now that I can't pray it selfishly or just thinking of what my needs are, but I'm praying with and for other people. And as we look at the rest of the Lord's Prayer, we see that a number of times it's our and it's us rather than just me. Our Father. If you considered what a blessing it is that Jesus has shared with us that we can call God our Father. You know, we could well imagine if it was only the angels that he'd say that to, or even those believers who have died and gone to heaven. But then we could say, Father. Is it considering your life? How many people could you refer to as Father? how many people could refer to you as Father? It's a wow. God says, come to me, my dear children. I'm your Father. By virtue that he created us, by virtue that Jesus died on the cross for each of us, that he made us his own in baptism and declared, this is my beloved son, my beloved daughter. You know, it's interesting how many times Jesus referred to God as his Father. The first words that Jesus is recorded to have said when he was 12 years old, what did he say to his parents? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Heard yesterday some religious preacher saying that over 100 times recorded in the Gospel of John that Jesus refers to God as his Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. When he's hanging on the cross, the first words that he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He spoke 7 times, as is recorded at least, and the last time that he spoke, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. We don't need to see God as revengeful, as hateful, as just waiting for us to say something or do something wrong that he can zap us. But rather that we see him as that loving Father. As we have had fathers who have loved us, who have sacrificed for us, who have provided for us, protected us. But for our fathers, it's all limited, isn't it? I can't speak for any of you. My father is no longer living. My wife's father is no longer living. You know, they can't do all those special things for us. But our Heavenly Father is always there. Always loving, always forgiving, always providing, always protecting us. Our Father who art in heaven. He's the God of the universe. He rules over all things. He can do anything and he can do everything. And he continues to care for each one of us. What a privilege then that we can go to him anytime, anywhere, confidently, respectfully, sincerely, joyfully. I ask you to turn to your bulletin, either to the front part or part of the service. We'll have you respond with Luther's explanation of the introduction of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, what does this mean? Respond.
With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father, and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask him as their children, as their Father.
Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your lives in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen.